I first came across the first copy in the Library of Congress, and then found a glass plate negative in the National Archives, and then continued on to find it in the Chicago History Museum, where everyone in the picture was misidentified as Confederate soldiers, members of Morgan's Raiders.
That's Steve Procco, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Steve Procco is a filmmaker, photographer, and author with a passion for history. His previous book, Rebel Correspondent, was about a cavalry private during the Civil War. He joins us to talk about Captured Freedom, another book about the Civil War that reveals a previously untold story. Steve, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, this, as I understand it, and as you write in the introduction to the book, this journey that you took down this historic trail all started with a photograph. Tell us about how that came about.
Well, I was researching a Civil War story for a documentary I was working on, and in doing that, had a lot of back and forth conversations with various people on the Facebook Civil War sites. And suddenly I got into a conversation in Instant Messenger, and this photograph popped up, and the gentleman said, "What do you think of this picture?" Which I was quite intrigued with. And he said, "Well, the guy in the center row on the far left is my two-time great uncle." So we talked about the picture a little bit. He kind of gave me what he knew that the family had passed down regarding the photograph. And from that, I just had said to him, "Well, do you know anything more about the rest of the men?" He said, "I just know there were Union officers that had escaped a Confederate prison. And my ancestor was helping them through the mountains of North Carolina to get to Union lines." So I asked him if he minded if I went ahead and researched the photograph a little bit further, and that sent me on this journey.
And as you point out in the book, this is not only a mystery to be solved about the men, but also there's this unique history about the photograph itself.
Yeah. I mean, as a photographer myself, that was interesting as well. You know, trying to determine who was the photographer. We quickly learned that the picture was taken in Knoxville. It was identified as taken on New Year's Day, 1865, which we subsequently found was actually wrong. It was taken the next day, and that came from the diary of one of the men that was in the photograph. And so part of the writing of the book was also sleuthing who was the photographer and working with people out of Knoxville to determine who that was and what the circumstances were to putting them in that place at that time to have the photograph made.
And there was also sort of this quest to be able to see the original photograph, because initially what you saw was a copy.
Yeah, and there are several copies, and they are in major institutions. I first came across the first copy in the Library of Congress, and then found a glass plate negative in the National Archives, and then continued on to find it in the Chicago History Museum, where everyone in the picture was misidentified as Confederate soldiers, members of Morgan's Raiders. So the picture, in every case, though, was a copy photograph, meaning that somebody at some point in the past who had an original had copies made, which was pretty common. So that was what we had. The best quality version was in the Library of Congress, when it was an image that was donated in the 1940s. And right as the book was getting ready to go to press, I tracked down an original print. And it was still held by the descendant of one of the men living in the Pacific Northwest.
So we have this photograph, which is a moment in time, and then there's a big story of all the men and how it led up to that photograph. And of course, you track the men after that and what happened to them following that photograph. And we won't have time to talk about everything in the book, but can you give us a brief overview so the readers will know what to expect here?
Well, these nine Union officers were all prisoners of war. They were captured starting around July 1863 through August 1864. They were moved through various prisons in the South, starting with Libby Prison and ending up in Columbia, South Carolina, where they all managed to escape at different times in November 1864. So the book tells their story as soldiers before they were POWs, then their lives as prisoners of war. And then it gives some information about what their lives were like after the war was over. And in every case, the men, I believe, suffered from some form of PTSD. So their lives after the war, some were successful, some were not. And they also moved around the country after the war. In fact, out of the 12 in the picture, five of them ended up in Kansas. One of the people in the picture is only 14 years old in the picture. He subsequently moved with his brother from North Carolina and homesteaded in Rush County, Kansas for over 10 years in the 1870s. And then at the end of their lives, three of the officers were moved into the soldiers' home in Leavenworth, Kansas. So that, to me, was kind of interesting. And when they were all in that home, which was in the 1910s, they would have potentially crossed paths, but I'm not certain, was never able to find the information as to whether or not they talked about their times in taking this photograph and such. You had a couple of men that were, one was an attorney before the war, another one became one afterwards. The one that became an attorney afterwards lived in Illinois and also became a state representative and state senator in Illinois. So they had all interesting lives, you know, after the war. One actually didn't survive 1865. He was still suffering the effects of typhoid that he had contracted at the beginning of the Civil War, and at 20 years old, he died in October of 1865. So he was the first one from the picture that passed.
Now, I'm curious about the research challenge here, because you had a family member that brought this picture to your attention. As you pointed out, there were other photos where everyone was misidentified. So how did you find out the true identity of the men in the pictures?
Well, it kind of was one of those things that as you would get one little kernel of information, it would lead to two or three others. And so there was a lot of breadcrumbs along the path. It really did start with the 14-year-old boy. I had found that his three- or four-time granddaughter, when she was 16 years old or so, had written about him for a competition in the 1980s and won. And part of that was that they would publish it as a children's book. And so I located the children's book and then searched her down. She's living in Australia, put me in touch with the family historian who lives still in Cashiers Valley, North Carolina. And she had original letters between her great-great-grandfather and one of the other men in the photograph. And so these things started to, you know, tell the story of who the men were. It took about a month or so before I fully identified them all.
And as you identified them and reached out to the descendants of those men, how many of them were actually aware of this history, and how many did it come as a surprise to them?
There were a few that knew the story and knew about the picture and had a copy of the picture. And the rest were, you know, they were aware that they had an ancestor that had fought in the Civil War, and that was about it. Yeah, it was, I think, enlightening for them to hear the story, you know, and as this evolved and became a book, it was obvious that they're going to get a bigger, you know, point of view of what their ancestors went through.
And speaking of what their ancestors went through, what were the conditions like for prisoners of war during the Civil War?
Well, they were pretty awful. And I think part of that came from both sides never understanding the sheer numbers that they were going to be dealing with in terms of prisoners that were captured in the various battles. But in the case of Union officers, they initially moved them to Richmond, Virginia, and they were housed in a place called Libby Prison, which was right on the James River. It was a former warehouse, three stories with a basement. They crowded roughly 1,200 plus prisoners into the upper two floors, which were split into three rooms per floor, bare floors, windows open to the elements with bars on them. So that was where they were. They had horrible rations. Again, neither side understanding the sheer volume of prisoners and how do you house them? How do you feed them? So their rations were pretty meager, and they actually relied on their families and friends to send them packages from the north that would subsidize the horrible amount of calories that they were taking in every day. And at Libby, there were several attempts of escape, and then finally one escape that would probably be called the Great Escape of the Civil War, where men tunneled out of the cellar, and 109 of them escaped, with more than half of them actually successfully making it back to Union lines. One of the men in the photograph, Mark Bassett from Illinois, was one of those 109 men who escaped, but unfortunately, he was recaptured a few days later. The Confederacy decided that it was too risky to keep this number of prisoners in Richmond. There had been an attempt to raid the prison to free the prisoners by a Union cavalry unit in March of 1864 that had failed, but they ended up then moving the officers down to Macon, Georgia, and the enlisted men, which weren't in Libby, they were kept on a place called Bell Island right on the James River. A lot of them ended up in Andersonville.
I'm talking with Steve Procco. His book is Captured Freedom, and it all started with this photograph of these men that you have now given them their rightful place in history. You noted earlier that when you were doing your research, there was at least one museum where everyone was misidentified. Have they corrected that problem now?
They have. That was the Chicago History Museum, and we had conversations early on because there was a few books written, including one with this picture on its cover, misidentifying them, and it all sourced from them. And so for over 100 years, they were identified as members of Morgan's Raiders, a Confederate raiding party that had been housed at Camp Douglas in Chicago. Don't really know the exact reasons for the misidentification, but after having conversations, they, you know, rightfully changed the story to the correct story. One of the things that was clearly proof was a 1910 newspaper article that actually published the picture with the correct identification and told the story of Mark Bassett, the gentleman from Illinois, who had written it right before his death in 1910.
Steve, I know we don't have a lot of time here, but I'm wondering if you could give us a couple more examples of the extremes of what happened to these men after the war, because as you point out, some actually did fairly well where others did not.
Well, three of the men went through divorces after the war. So their lives, you know, their personal lives with their families were quite tough. Two of those men that were divorced actually had been wounded during the war. One significant wound in the head that had affected him the rest of his life in terms of vertigo and things like that. And the other also suffering from injuries and PTSD during the war. So their lives were, you know, kind of tragic, I would say, because, you know, they weren't able to proceed and get jobs that they could keep. One gentleman went through a lot of different jobs, basically left his first wife, just walked out the door and disappeared, and she didn't know what happened to him. So you have that kind of tale in the story of the men. And then, you know, there were quite a few others that the attorneys that I mentioned. There was another gentleman who became a very successful retail merchant. One became a pharmacist in Kansas. You know, for the most part, they had what you would consider to be normal lives. one had kept a diary during the entire Civil War, and we found the original in the research of the book, and then also discovered that he continued the diary in the beginning of the 20th century for some reason. And in speaking with somebody who had read it after I'd found it, we both came to the conclusion that he was suffering from kind of a depression. You could tell it in his writing. And so there was, I think, again, all of them suffered from the effects of mental torture that they went through in the prisons. There was a lot of the guards and the prison administrators, you know, taking it out on the prisoners. And then also just the horrible living conditions resulted in a lot of these men developing scurvy and other things that affected them for the rest of their lives.
This is the second book you've written about the Civil War. And as you research what happened to these men and all the details surrounding it, did it give you a new perspective or a new understanding of the war and what it meant for this nation?
I think what was interesting with both of these books is they really get into the lives of the men and how it was for them within the war. The first book I wrote was called Rebel Correspondent, and it dealt with a private in the 4th Georgia Cavalry, strictly from his perspective, because he had written quite a bit about his time in the 4th Georgia later in life. And to me, you hear about the Civil War, you get the battles, you hear about Gettysburg and you know, all of these things. And it's usually coming from a perspective of what the strategies were in those battles. These both were more about what the lives of the men were like. And that was what was intriguing for me.
To learn more, the book is Captured Freedom by Steve Procco. Steve, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you.
If you would like to hear more interviews in our Conversations collection, you'll find them at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.